Nutrition fuels our bodies and minds. Our strength, mobility, energy, and even mood rely on the right nutrition. And scientists are continually uncovering new secrets. Welcome to Nutrition Unlocked, the podcast celebrating innovations advancing the role of nutrition in health, sponsored by Nestle Health Science. In each episode, we talk to experts from around the world about the latest topics in health science. We'll bring you insights and discuss innovations that are unlocking healthier futures. Today, we're embarking on a two-part series focusing on healthy aging. In today's episode, we're exploring the big question of why we age at the most fundamental level. Why do our cells age? Our host for this two-part series is Rick Gentis.
Hello. Thanks for joining me as we dive into the question of why we age. There are some key signs of aging. We all know them. Feeling a little more sluggish, losing a step in our exercise routines, not living up to the image we have of ourselves. We either are already experiencing them, or we will as we get older. It happens to all of us, but why? Why do we age? Scientists are finding the answers at the smallest levels, inside our cells, and they've uncovered the role that mitochondria can play in how we age. Mitochondria are the parts of our cells that generate energy, and addressing these energy changes could be a key to combating one of the most difficult parts of aging, the loss of mobility. Today, we are joined by Dr. Anurag Singh, the Chief Medical Officer of Amazentis, a life science company based in Switzerland that's looking into how advanced therapeutics can be applied in everyday life. Welcome, Anurag. Thanks for joining me today. We're talking about why we age, so let's start at the beginning. Why do we age?
Great question, Rick, and something that a lot of laboratories around the world have been studying extensively. But the answer really is, as I tell people, is simple. It's really three pillars. You know, the whole aging process is resting. The first pillar is clearly the diet, the nutrition we are eating and how we're able to absorb some of these key nutrients. The second is exercise, so how physically active we are or sedentary we are. And the third, often ignored one, is the pillar of cellular health, and which means really how efficiently your cells are absorbing these nutrients and having an impact, for example, exercising or things like this.
Are there parts of the world where you see this come to life in different ways?
Yeah, sure. There's been a lot of research going on trying to ask the question a little bit differently, is why are people aging lesser in certain parts of the world? And we call these the blue zones. And so there are five of them. One is in Okinawa in Japan, the second is Sardinia in Italy, third is an island, Icaria in Greece, and then there are two in America, close to Costa Rica, and then Loma Linda in California. And essentially what has been found is that there's a lot more habit of eating well, so eating natural foods, fruits and nuts and berries and things like this, and fiber. And of course, in these islands, people have a lot of sunshine, so of course you get your vitamin D, and they're very physically active. And so combined with all these and less stress on your cells, these people are living over 100, higher centenarians. And so a lot of answers boil down to the three pillars that we just talked about, exercise, diet, and cellular health.
I think a lot of people say, okay, I've heard about exercise, I've heard about eating well. These are things that I think most people are familiar with. But when you start to think about this idea of cellular health, I think that'll be a little bit new. I know I've read some articles recently that referred to a term called age-associated cellular decline. So maybe can you touch on what some of the mechanisms of age-associated cellular decline might be that might signal someone has cellular health?
Yeah, sure. So just to sort of give a broad definition, age-associated cellular decline is the decline that starts happening around the 40s in cells not being able to optimally function. So your cells and your biological processes are not as efficient as you were in your 20s and 30s, and they slow down further. So when you hit your 60s, the cells are worse off than when you were 40. So what was found in this landmark paper about 10 years back on key hallmarks of aging, so these are essentially 9 or 10 key biological processes, they're intricately linked. So you have loss of nutrient sensing, you have problems with protein folding, loss of proteostasis. But a key hallmark that connects all these biological processes, the hallmarks of aging, is mitochondrial dysfunction. And that's basically what happens is as we age, these cellular organelles that are inside a cell is called mitochondria. And are really, you can think of these mitochondria as it's like your batteries, interconnected batteries, like you would find in a Tesla car, that are just producing energy, and the currency is called ATP. And so with aging, what happens is that ATP production is compromised and mitochondria are slowing down. And what you see in terms of functionality in your daily life is that you feel more fatigue. If you were running 5 kilometers, you take longer as you age to recover from it. Of course, your strength is every decade after your 40s going down by 10%. And all that is tied to this age-associated cellular decline that is linked to mitochondrial health.
Wow. So it's just, I think about it in terms of like a low power mode on a phone. It's stuff still works, but maybe just not quite as well.
Exactly. A fully charged phone is like a very efficient, clean mitochondria that is just producing ATP. And if you're running on this low mode battery, then you need to address your mitochondria and cellular health. That's what it means, really. Yeah.
So what are some things that the body can do to help, or what can we do as people as we start to think about regenerating mitochondria or supporting mitochondria, and how will that then impact our cellular health?
If you think about a mitochondria and its life cycle, it's really a self-renewing life cycle. So what you have is mitochondrial biogenesis, which means you're growing the number of mitochondria, and then you can make them more efficient. But what actually happens also with aging is this sort of cleaning up of the faulty mitochondria. You get a lot of accumulation of faulty mitochondria in your cells that are not able to clean themselves. And this self-renewal process is something we call mitophagy. And so mitophagy slows down with aging in the muscles and the brain, wherever there's a high abundance of mitochondria. And so to improve mitochondrial health, some of the well-known interventions are exercise and fasting, for example. And so what people can do is eat right, exercise more. And there are now nutrients, actually, that can impact both mitochondrial function and the self, accelerate mitophagy. So, yeah, you get better mitochondrial health.
Wow, that's absolutely fascinating that nutrition is starting to, again, have this role that it can play in health. We know that it's projected that there's going to be more than 1 billion people over the age of 65 by 2030 or something. So as people live longer, cellular health, is it just about extending the lifespan, or is it more about extending the health span? Strength and motility are components of this, but also keeping our autonomy. Maybe can you talk a bit about some of the research that you've seen that's being done in this area?
Yeah, sure. This is fascinating. And if you look at the average lifespan, about 100, 150 years back, it was about 40 years. And now it's about 80 years. So we have doubled. We used to live one life. Now we are living basically two lifetimes in one life. But you don't want to be living 80, 90 and be reduced with mobility issues and not being able to go about your daily activities of living and with less fatigue. You hit it spot on. I think health span is the key. You want to be 80 and you want to be out there playing with your grandkids and moving around. And so a lot of research is focusing on improving mitochondrial health. There is research on boosting what we call as NAD levels. So typically NAD levels are linked to good mitochondrial health and they decline with aging. And then there's research basically targeting mitochondria by impacting their respiration and improving their efficiency. So you have nutritional interventions that are known to improve the efficiency of the mitochondria. And then lastly, there, as I mentioned before, there are new novel interventions now that are impacting mito, which is basically a self-renewal garbage disposal process of taking faulty mitochondria out and renewing with healthy mitochondria. And so we have been looking at it quite a lot. And there are other groups who have looked at the aged cohorts. And so what we have seen in 70-year-olds who are running like half marathons and very fit lifestyle versus 70-year-olds who are a bit frail is we have found that mitochondrial health is a key element in their skeletal muscles that dictates mobility and physical activity. And so we've looked at and we've identified a nutritional compound derived from pomegranates, actually called urolithin A, that also revs up this mitophagy process. And we are actually doing a number of studies.
So with all of these opportunities we have, tell me a little bit about some of these nutritional interventions. Where do they come from? What's like the source of them? And then what's the evidence that supports their use in helping mitophagy?
One of the natural compounds we've taken a very close look at is a gut microbiome-derived metabolite from precursors that are found in pomegranate and other fruits and nuts such as berries and walnuts. And what happens is this is a compound called as urolithin A that if you're eating the right fruits and nuts and you're getting the precursors, your gut microbiome then digests these and releases urolithin A. And what was found in studies done with the Swiss Institute of Technology here with Professor Johan Ulrichs was that this particular natural compound was having a very dramatic impact on muscle function and mobility by activating mitophagy, which, as I described, is basically the cleanup of the faulty mitochondria. And so we have done a number of clinical studies on this, and we have gone in with the older adults and middle-aged adults, and we've seen that it has very profound impacts on muscle strength. In fact, we are actually now even running a few other studies in hospitalized bed rest models and in elite athletes as well.
So as you think about this in elite athletes, this is very interesting, I'm sure, but do we think that somehow mitophagy can actually help performance of even younger athletes?
Yeah, great question. And if you had asked me this question a few years back, there would have been skeptics, but a very remarkable paper came out earlier this year in elite athletes showing that overtraining was having a dramatic impact on mitochondrial health. Because these elite athletes are playing and training a lot over time, their mitochondrial health gets compromised through mitochondrial dysfunction, of course. And there's a belief that if you rev up mitophagy, that you'll aid in the quicker recovery, and so you'll maintain the same level of performance. And so that's the kind of angle we're looking at, how fast these elite athletes in training mode can recover.
So it's a bit about of a recovery thing, which then I guess would also tie to the comment you just made about looking at it in rehabilitation after bed rest or illness.
Exactly. So in bed rest and rehab situation, you will have accelerated aid, as I call it. You'll have much faster decline in muscle mass and muscle strength and your mitochondrial health. And I think that's where some of these molecules or nutritional interventions will have a big role to play.
So you just said a few minutes ago, if you thought a few months ago, or even a few years ago, if someone asked you about mitochondrial health and exercise, you would have been a bit skeptical. But now new data has come out. So if you start to think and look forward down the road 5 or even 10 years, what are some of the big breakthroughs that you think we can continue to address how we live a healthier life into our older years? How can we drive advances, whether it's on the cellular level or through other means?
Yeah, it's a fascinating question again. And I think it's already happening. So there already, as we discussed, there are nutritional interventions emerging that can allow us to maintain our cellular health. And what's happening is a paradigm shift also in how we measure cellular health. So 10 years back, everybody had to go to a medical doctor in a clinic to measure things like heart rate, respiratory rate, and heart rate variability, or even oxygen levels. Now, what we have is actually that with wearables and other things that you can monitor your health on a daily basis. So you can track your heart rate and your heart rate variability. And then there's this new concept of really measuring your biological age, which is very remarkable. And I think in 5-10 years, doctors all around the world will be measuring biological age. This is really your cellular health. You know, you could be 70 years old, but if you've eaten right and you've exercised, you could have a biological age of a 50-60-year-old. And so the healthcare measurements will go into the hands of the consumers, and they'll be, you know, measuring on a routine basis their biological age, for example.
So I guess if you're a chronologically aged 40 or 50-year-old today, and you want to make sure you're maintaining your mobility, your independence, your ability to keep this as long as possible, I guess we go back to your three pillars, right? It would be good exercise, good food, and really taking some focus on your cellular health.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you should always focus on eating right, and you should always exercise. And there's no way you can replace those two. But there are often times when, you know, you are an airplane, jet lag, not eating right, or not exercising because you don't have the time. And so what this third pillar of maintaining your cellular health allows you to is continue the homeostasis of getting a good cellular health along your lifespan and being very healthy even as an 80-year-old. And so you're taking this approach early on when you're 40s and 30s rather than when you are in your 70s or 80s. And there's never too late to start thinking about cellular health.
So maybe can you just touch on one last time for the audience, what are some of those specific things we can do to manage our cellular health?
Yeah, some of these nutritional interventions touched base on is you can think about boosting your NAD levels as you age. There's nutritional compounds such as nicotinamide riboside, or NR is the short form. And there are products out there where you can supplement yourself with NAD and boost your NAD levels. And then you can take natural compounds that activate mitophagy, such as urolithin A. And so you could supplement your diet with either NAD and urolithin A and get benefits out of having a good cellular health.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Anurag. Dr. Anurag Singh is the Chief Medical Officer at Amazentis and a world-renowned expert on cellular aging. Thank you so much for listening to part one of our two-part series on healthy aging. We hope you enjoyed today's discussion and learned something new. And be sure to join us for our next episode, Why Do We Age Differently? If you haven't already, please rate, review, and subscribe to Nutrition Unlocked on Apple Podcasts so you can ensure you don't miss an episode and you can let others know about the podcast. We look forward to sharing insights and other interesting topics related to the science of nutrition with you soon. See you next time on Nutrition Unlocked.